Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for blessing us and making this possible, giving us understanding, filling us with faith, Lord, because the whole creation works through faith. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to continue with Quantum Physics Proves Faith, number 4. This is a wonderful revelation. I'm going to share it with you. It's exactly what scientists have discovered concerning what the Bible already tells us. But it's neat. Mark 11:23-24 tells us plainly, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. That's received is in the past tense there in the Greek, and you shall have them. So if we look at this from a surface level, it would seem a ridiculous statement that Jesus made. How is it possible that spoken words would send a mountain or a spiritual equivalent into the sea? Because we have many mountains, right? So I'm going to share with you about mustard seed and quantum physics. When Jesus said in Luke 17:6, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, he was speaking of the smallest seed that could be seen in his time. And if he were here today, he might say, if you had faith as an atom. I guess they didn't know about atoms back then. Or even smaller. And, of course, we always think we found the smallest particle. But we've always been wrong. So if you had faith as a quark, which is a subatomic particle, the point he was making was that small things that cannot be easily seen manifest themselves and affect things in this larger world where we live. Quantum physics is the study of things so small that we cannot see them, yet everything we see is made of these subatomic particles. They're everywhere around us, everywhere, okay? Remember Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Before God spoke and said, let there be light, the substance for light was there already. The sound vibration of his words caused the substance to manifest and appear. Words are energy, and energy affects matter. The energy of your microwave vibrates the water molecules and heats the water. The energy of electricity flows to your washing machine and powers the motor that spins the tub and cleans your clothes. So we can rightfully say that energy affects matter. Your words are energy, and they affect the matter around your life. So when you speak the words, this is the worst car I've ever had, you stupid piece of junk, so on and so forth, those words are vibrations of energy that affect the atoms that make up that car. and if you speak those words long enough, your car will obey you. Scientists have performed experiments with atoms and their subatomic particles, such as electrons. If you paid attention in school, you saw the diagram of an atom with the electron orbiting it like the Earth orbits the Sun. And the interesting thing is that scientists have discovered that the electron that is showing orbiting the nucleus is not always there in particle form. It exists in a wave state, like a cloud, everywhere at once, until someone looks at it. And when the scientist observes it, it suddenly appears as a dot or a particle. And what we all want to know is, how does it know someone is looking at it? Well, it obviously is responding to the observer's interaction with it. One of the difficulties in quantum physics is that the particles behave somewhat different for each observer. There's a reason for that, which leads to the question, does it behave according to what the scientist believes? Aha! So in any event, we can definitely conclude that Jesus was right when he taught that all matter responds to faith and words. And the substance from which our world is made is influenced and manifested by words. And the things that you desire are made up of atoms. And they know what you believe, they hear what you say, and they behave accordingly. That's scientific proof of people that weren't even Christians. Okay, the thoughts and beliefs that you carry also produce an energy around you. Have you ever noticed that when you are angry, things go wrong, and people are insulting and angry with you? Your thoughts and beliefs produce an energy that people can perceive and react to. And if you believe that no one likes you, then you emit that rejecting type of energy, and we call it a spirit because it is, and people will be driven away from you. And if you love people and care about them, they will feel that they'll feel that and be drawn to you. Have you ever been around someone who is pleasant and full of love? It is an energy that you can actually feel. And the energy of love is a powerful drawing card for good in your life. And after all, God is love, and he's everywhere, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So when you believe that God loves you and wants you to prosper, then you change your words and beliefs about money, for instance, as an example. Now, I've learned to think and believe and say things always work out for me. You know, everything that I do prospers, and I have abundance in Jesus' name. So God's not limited to the things that you and I see. There is an infinite supply of substance waiting to be manifest according to your beliefs and words. So let me share with you portions of this video transcript on how we need to be careful because our words create. Please remember, I only used what I agree with in this particular article, and I left the rest alone. But my advice is in this from a biblical perspective, and that's what I want us to look at. And this was called This Ancient Code Reveals Exactly How Your Words Control Reality. And he does it from more of a scientific aspect, but I'm going to put a little bit of scientific aspect in here because it does prove what the Bible says. And he goes on to say, the universe obeys this. Yes, it does. Do you remember how Jesus, the woman that came up behind Jesus and thought to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she did. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? It wasn't a conscious thing in Jesus' mind to heal this woman. She, in her mind, had faith that if she touched him, she'd be changed. So let me share with you a part of this article and pieces of this article. A Philosophical Essence, 12/1/2025. Everything is energy, including the words you speak. The deep dive uncovers the hidden influence language has on perception, belief, emotion, and the human nervous system. You'll explore how words shape internal states and how meanings influence behavior and why conscious speech can transform the trajectory of your life. This masterclass breakdown, the roots behind commonly used terms, how repetition affects the subconscious, and why intentional language can create profound psychological shifts. You'll learn practical tools to upgrade your vocabulary, shift limiting self-talk, and reclaim the creative power hidden inside everyday speech. Now, he's talking to the people of the world out there, and it's certainly true. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the things comes out of the mouth, you know, out of the innermost being shall flow these things, right? And with Christians, it should be the living waters of the word, right? The good word. But with the world, it's the bad waters, the bitter waters, you know, that James spoke about. If you've ever felt like your potential was muted, your confidence is diluted, or your reality stuck on repeat, and this is the missing piece. Your words are not just expressions, they're instructions. Reclaim the code. And he uses Proverbs 18:21, and it's true, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life in the power of the tongue. So your words have a very dark secret. I'll prove, he says, they're controlling your reality. What if I told you that every word that you've ever spoken was a spell? And what if the people who designed language knew this from the very beginning? Well, let me make a little correction here. God created this from the scattering of Babel by their languages that he gave them. They couldn't understand each other. It wasn't man that did this. It was God that did this. And whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. And we sow a lot out of what we say. So there's a reason they call it spelling, he says. It's called that because you're literally casting spells every time you arrange letters into words. And here's what nobody tells you, that the words you were taught to use were specifically chosen to keep you trapped in a mental prison that you can't even see. Okay, a little correction here. Jesus taught that our words bind and loose. Okay? It's our words that bind and loose. He gives us that authority, right? But it's not your mistake he says. And before you dismiss this as a conspiracy theory, let me show you something. Look at the word grammar. Where does it come from? Grimoire. That's a book of magic spells. The structure of language grammar was originally understood as a magical system. Well, let me say, but it's more correctly a supernatural system. Magical usually incorporates things of the devil, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord spoke words that were supernatural, and they do come to pass, and ours do too, as sons and children of God, right? So then there's cursive writing, he says. We call it cursive because it creates curses. And spelling, you're casting spells. This isn't hidden. It's right there in plain sight. They just trained you to laugh it off as coincidence. Well, most of what lost men say is a curse, I got to say. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. But here's where it gets disturbing, he says. In 1946, something vanished from American schools. Not prayer, not paddling, etymology. The study of where words come from and what they actually mean. And the moment they remove it, you lost the ability to see the trap. Because when you understand what words really mean at their root, you start noticing that almost every word you use was designed to program you into accepting limitations you never agreed to. Let me prove this to you right now. There's a reason they stopped teaching etymology in 1946. Before that, every kid learned to decode words to understand the hidden programs inside language. Then it stopped. Everywhere, all at once. They replaced it with memorization and standardized tests. Why? Because if you knew that, understand literally means to stand under, to submit, you might stop saying, I understand in every agreement. If you knew government, breaks to govern, meaning to control, and meant, meaning mind, you might start questioning authority differently. They gave you a corrupted vocabulary and told you words don't matter, but words are spells, and they've been casting them over you your entire life. You know, he's not coming from a God versus devil situation here at all, you know, so just take that, keep that in mind. Listen, I know how that sounds, and I know you're probably thinking, okay, this is going to be some weird metaphor thing, but stay with me because what I'm about to show you isn't a metaphor at all. It's physics. It's biology. And more like Satan has, really, not they, but it's more like Satan has, systematically hidden it from you. Because once you understand that your words aren't describing reality, they're creating it, and you become ungovernable. Well, my thought is it starts with the heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So out of the heart, spoken through the mouth, this is what changes things around you. And Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? So here's the truth nobody's telling you, he says. You've been doing the work right, like positive thinking. This means you're not lazy, and you're definitely not missing some secret ingredient. But here's what's happening. You've been using contaminated language that programs failure directly into your nervous system. And they did that on purpose. Well, again, it's not they. It's unbelief in God who made the rules, right? If you believe his promises, you've got them. And if you don't, you don't. So think about it. He says, you say, I'm trying to lose weight. What does your subconscious hear? Trying, attempting, but not succeeding. It means effort without result. You say, I want to be successful. Your body hears want, lack, desire, the state of not having. You say, I need more money. Your cells receive need, scarcity, desperation, and emergency mode or something. Every single one of those statements is a spell, and you just cast limitation into your reality without even knowing it. Well, Jesus, let me say, Jesus said, believe you have received. This is the cure. He said, if you want answers to prayer, believe you have received. It's already done. That's the way we should be speaking. Okay. He goes on. Now, here's what they don't want you to know. The elite study etymology like their lives depended on it. They teach their children Latin, Greek, Sanskrit, and Hebrew. These ancient languages that are basically frequency codes. And while they are learning to program reality, they give your kids text, speak, and emojis. They dumb down the vocabulary. They remove etymology from schools. And they tell you the biggest lie ever told. Quote, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Unquote. That's not what Jesus said. And, of course, that's what he's saying from a scientific point of view. So that's not protection. That's programming you to dismiss the most powerful force in your reality. Words aren't neutral. I need you to understand this. They're not just communication tools. They're technology. Frequency technology. Every word you speak creates an electromagnetic signature. Dr. Masaru Emoto proved this. He exposed water to different words, written words, spoken words, and even thoughts. Directed at water. Then he froze it and photographed the crystals under a microscope. Water exposed to love and gratitude formed perfect, beautiful, symmetrical crystals. Absolute geometric perfection. Water exposed to hate and you make me sick, quote unquote. Create chaos, broken, distorted, ugly formations. Now here's where it gets crazy. You're 70% water. Every cell, every organ, every system is mostly water. And you speak what is it like? 16,000 words a day. Every single word is creating either coherence or chaos inside your body, just like it did with the experiment. So when you say, I'm so stupid, quote unquote, your cells hear that. And when you say, I'm broke, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, Every water molecule in your body is reshaping around that frequency. And let me say to you, you're disagreeing with the Word of God because Jesus became accursed for us so we could have Abraham's blessings. That's what the Word says. So when you speak all this, you're saying that's not true. The curse is the truth. Okay? Back to what he's talking about. The problem is nobody told you that thoughts don't create reality. Words do because thoughts, that's the text I actually shared with you. Words do because thoughts are made of words, right? So you can't think without language. And if your language is corrupted, your thoughts are corrupted, which means your reality is corrupted. It's that simple. And get this, spelling and casting spells aren't a coincidence. Grammar comes from grammoire, a book of spells. Cursive comes from curse. It's all hiding in plain sight. And we laugh it off because we've been trained to dismiss it as coincidence. But once you decode even five words, you can't unsee it. Mortgage. Mort means death, like mortal or mortuary. Gage means pledge, like engage in a binding agreement. So mortgage equals death pledge. Well, actually, mortgaging is unscriptural in the Bible, right? Borrowing and guaranteeing to pay back, suretyship, is unscriptural, okay? So you're signing a death pledge, and they call it that right to your face. Pharmacy comes from pharmakia, which is sorcery, witchcraft, translated that way in the Bible sometimes, right? Government equals governance, control plus mint, which means mind, equals mind control. They're telling you exactly what they're doing, and you're agreeing because nobody taught you to read the code. So here's what changes once you understand this. Once you get that language is literal, reality, programming technology, you gain complete linguistic sovereignty. You stop speaking unconsciously. You stop signing invisible contracts. You stop casting limitation spells over your own life. You reclaim the creative power they've deliberately hidden from you. This isn't about positive thinking. Positive thinking is surface level. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Positive thinking does have its advantages. There's absolutely no doubt about it. If you confess good things instead of bad things, that's good, and it will show up, okay? And he goes on to say, this is about understanding that you are a frequency generator broadcasting electromagnetic signatures every second, and language is how you tune that frequency. And my thought is, it's not positive thinking alone, it's faith in God's thinking, which we are told, quote, overcomes the world, quote unquote. Right? Faith overcomes the world. Faith in God's word, right? Some people, he goes on to say, manifest easily and listen. It's not because they're more spiritual or more blessed. They just understand that every sentence is a contract with the universe. And the universe always says, yes. You're about to learn what the elite know. You're about to understand why certain people seem to bend reality while others stay stuck in the same patterns year after year. And you're never going to speak the same way again, because once you know Words are spells. Every conversation becomes a conscious ritual, and you are the spellcaster. So let me take you back to 1946. Before that year, every kid in school learned etymology, not as some optional elective you could skip as protection. They taught you to decode words, to understand the hidden programs inside language, to recognize when people were casting a spell over you through carefully chosen vocabulary. It was the standard curriculum everywhere, the United States, Europe, Asia, everywhere. Then, in 1946, and it stopped globally, simultaneously. They replaced etymology with memorization, standardized testing, and regurgitation. Yeah, regurgitation. Why decode language when you can just memorize what they tell it, well, they tell you it means, right? So they just want you to repeat, 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 not really look at what you're saying. So they just want you to trust them, right? This word means this. Don't ask where it came from. Don't ask what the roots are. Just memorize it and move on. Here's where it gets crazy. This wasn't a gradual shift. It's not like schools slowly phased it out over decades. This was a coordinated effort after World War II, after they saw what propaganda could do, how language could move entire nations, how words could convince people to do unspeakable things. We've seen that. We're seeing it especially now, right? They systematically removed linguistic literacy from education. Edward Bernays, you've got to know this name, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, literally wrote the book on propaganda. Quote, public relations, unquote, he called it. He understood that controlling language controls populations. And his whole philosophy was this. A population that decodes language is dangerous. A population that understands etymology asks too many questions. They see through the manipulation. They recognize the spells being cast. So what did they do? They gave you dumbed-down vocabulary. They told you words are just sounds we assign, meaning to random, arbitrarily. We just decided this collection of sounds means this thing. But that's a lie. Every word carries frequency. Every route carries programming, you know, as the experiment showed, you know. Every route carries programming, and when you don't know what you're saying, you can't control what you're creating. Think about how many contracts you signed in your life without understanding the etymology of the terms. How many agreements have you made using words you never decoded? You've been consenting to things you didn't understand because they removed your ability to read the fine print hidden in plain sight. I mean, when you sign a mortgage, do you know that you're signing a death pledge? And when you go to the pharmacy, do you know you're visiting a place whose name literally means sorcery? Or witchcraft. It's translated both ways, by the way, in the scripture, but you can't miss the meaning of it, right? Pharmacy, pharmakia, right? When you say, I understand, in a legal agreement, do you know you're saying, I position myself beneath your authority, quote unquote? No, because they removed that. They removed that knowledge in 1946, systematically, globally, and nobody questioned it because they framed it as educational reform, progress, and modernization. But it wasn't progress, it was control. And once you see that, you can't unsee it. Now let me remind you about Dr. Masaru Emoto and why his work should have changed everything. This man did something so simple and so profound that it broke through all the academic gatekeeping and hit people right in the gut. He took water, just regular water, and exposed it to different words. He'd write words on paper and tape them to containers of water. He'd play music with different emotional tones. He'd have people speak to the water with different intentions. Love, gratitude, hate. You make me sick, or I will kill you. Different frequencies through language and sound. Then he froze the water and photographed the crystals under a microscope. And what he found, water exposed to love and gratitude formed perfect, beautiful, symmetrical crystals. Sacred geometry appearing in frozen water because of a word. Water exposed to hate and you make me sick became chaotic, distorted, and broken. Now here's what you need to understand. You are 70% water. Every cell in your body, your blood, your organs, your brain, your muscles is mostly water, and you speak 16,000 words a day. Every single word creates either coherence or chaos inside your body. And when you say, I'm so stupid, your cells hear that. When you say, I'm broke, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, every water molecule responds, shifting to match that frequency. So since when he put it in a jug and spoke to it or even wrote on it or whatever, it changed the molecules in the water. It does the same in your body. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Okay, back to his teaching here. Somatics proves this even further. Sand on a vibrating plate forms geometric patterns depending upon the frequency. Your body is the plate. Your words are the frequency. Your cells arrange themselves accordingly. And this is why some people heal and others don't. This is why a placebo works. This is why someone who speaks life lives longer than someone who speaks negativity. The water is listening and it obeys. You've been broadcasting 16,000 reality commands a day and nobody told you your body was listening. Nobody told you that I am sick isn't a description, it's an instruction. Your body follows it. We're taught to know that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, right? We were healed. So therefore, if we keep agreeing with that and give the good confession, which brings salvation, as we just read, we'll do better. So he goes on to say, now let's talk about what the elite know. Ever wonder why elite schools still teach Latin? Why their kids study Greek, Sanskrit and Hebrew, dead languages nobody uses, why waste time on those? Because those languages are frequency codes, not corrupted, not diluted. Sanskrit words hold precise vibrational signatures. Hebrew letters have numerical frequency structures. Latin is the root of law, medicine, government, and systems of power. They are not learning history. They're learning to program reality. Now, while their kids study ancient frequency languages, yours get text, speak, emojis, slang that changes every few months, so you never develop deep linguistic roots. Corrupted language creates corrupted thinking. Well, I might add Psalm 45:1, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Where does it write? It writes on your soul. It writes in your cells, right? Continuing, corrupted thinking creates powerless people, and powerless people are controllable. The elite know language is technology. They study etymology obsessively. They understand words like mortgage, pharmacy, and understand all carry hidden commands. They use these words on you while avoiding them themselves. Well, let me say, that's not quite right. It's not possible, because what they sow, they reap. Do you notice how corrupt and evil they are? So they don't get away with anything, do they? No. And they're clearly corrupted. So listen to how they talk privately, he says. Precise, intentional, never casual. Every word is a contract. Every conversation is a ritual. Language is how they cast spells. They removed etymology so you wouldn't see the manipulation. Well, you can see these leftist people saying things that are causing other people to go nuts out there. Yeah. They simplified your vocabulary. They told you language doesn't matter while mastering rhetoric, persuasion, and linguistic magic at elite universities. The game has always been rigged, but now you know. Princeton University ran an experiment for decades called the Global Consciousness Project. They set up random number generators all over the world, machines that should produce completely random data. No pattern, no predictability, just pure randomness. Then they measured what happened during major global events. September the 11th, massive natural disasters, Princess Diana's funeral, and the moment Obama was elected. Moments when millions of people focus their consciousness on the same thing at the same time, feeling the same emotions, thinking similar thoughts. The random number generators became less random, significantly, measurably, statistically impossible to explain away. Human consciousness was affecting machines, not through touch, not through proximity, through field and through frequency, through collective attention, creating coherence in the quantum field. Well, I found this so. Machines respond to commands. I'm talking about creative commands that say, be fixed, and they get fixed, you know? So it's true. Going on, he said, now I heard about this, and I thought, okay, that's interesting, but what, it's happening with millions of people. What about one person? What about me? So I got a random number generator app on my phone. Simple thing. Just spits out random numbers between 1 and 100. And I watched it for a week. Completely random, as expected. No patterns, just chaos. Then I tried something. I focused my intention on it, not hoping, not wishing. I declared out loud, "This device now responds to my consciousness. I'm collapsing the randomness into pattern," quote, unquote. And I held that state, not desperate, not forcing, just absolute certainty, like when you know you're about to catch something someone throws to you, and that kind of certainty. Or like when Mama said, "Don't go out without your coat, you'll catch cold." Right. So the numbers started clustering. At first I thought it was chance, but it kept happening. Then patterns emerged, runs of similar numbers, sequences. Then I started trying to will specific ranges. In other words, quote, "Give me numbers above 70, unquote. And they came, not 100% of the time, but way above statistical chance. Enough that I couldn't explain it away. Enough that I had to sit with the implications. And here's what hit me in that moment. Sitting there watching my consciousness affect electronics. Quote, "If I can do this to a random number generator, what am I doing to my body? What am I doing to my relationships? What am I doing to my bank account? To every situation I walk into, the broadcasting unconscious frequency. Your words aren't just vibrating air. They're not just sound waves that disappear. They're altering electromagnetic fields. They're collapsing quantum possibilities." You know, the quanta is, in quantum physics, quanta is the smallest particle, right? They haven't assigned a name to that smallest particle, but that's what they did when they used the word quantum, a quanta. You know, that there are quantas everywhere. They're waiting for you to speak into them and to believe into them. He goes on, "They're collapsing quantum possibilities. They're programming matter. And when you understand that, when you feel that, you can never speak carelessly again. Every word becomes a conscious act of creation." So, let's get into why we call it spelling. Why not wording? Why not lettering? Think about it. When you're in school, they call it spelling tests. You have to spell words correctly. Why? Why is that the term? Because you're casting spells letter by letter, word by word. You're assembling symbols that carry frequency, and when you arrange them correctly, they execute their programming. Grammar comes from grammoire. And a grammar is a book of magic spells. Cursive comes from curse. It's all hiding in plain sight, but we laugh it off because we've been trained to dismiss it as coincidence, but there are no coincidences in etymology. Language evolved over thousands of years, and every word carries the memory of its origin, the frequency signature of its root. Well, I would say Proverbs 18 and 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So I mean, there's obvious ways that this is true, but now we're looking at some less obvious ways that it's true, right? Spelling is called spelling because, he says, assembling letters into words is literally how you cast spells over reality. Think about school. They drilled it into you, spelling tests. You had to spell words correctly. Why was that so important? Because incorrect spelling breaks the spell. The frequency changes. The code doesn't execute properly. And on a more natural foundation, of course, if everybody's not using the word the same way, nobody will understand anybody, right? Well, how about your cells? Do they understand? Well, they do, you know. They were teaching you spell casting and calling it literacy, and you thought you were just learning to read and write. Well, every email you write, every text you send, every conversation you have, you're casting spells, programming reality, creating experiences. Most people do this unconsciously, which is why most people feel powerless. They're broadcasting a random frequency all day long, contradicting themselves, creating chaos, contradicting the Bible, by the way. That's the worst part. And then wondering why their life feels out of control. But once you know, once you see that language is literally magic, he wrote, I cross through that, I put supernatural, because God designed this way, you know. And that's what the scientists discovered, right? So it's literally, he called it magic, disguised as communication. Everything changes. You become intentional. You become sovereign. You become the conscious creator they never wanted you to be. And now let me break down the words that you've been using without knowing what you're actually saying. This is where it gets really wild. Because once I show you even five or six of these, you're going to start seeing it everywhere. Mortgage. You signed this document to buy a house, right? It's normal. Everybody does it. But let's decode it. Mort actually means death, like mortal, subject to death, right? Mortuary, where they keep the dead bodies, right? Mortality, the state of dying. Gage, the second part of the word, equals pledge. Like engage, to pledge yourself, right? Mortgage equals death pledge. You're literally pledging your life force to the bank for 30 years. And of course, the Bible commands you not to do that in Proverbs. In fact, everything he says here about this, actually, you can find places in the Bible where he tells you don't do it. And he's not looking at it from that because he doesn't use the biblical perspective here. So they're telling you exactly what it is right in the name, but nobody taught you to read the code. You're signing a death pledge and thinking you're just buying a house. Well, the elite who own the banks know exactly what they're making you sign. They know the frequency that word carries, and they use it deliberately. Government, another word, right? You hear this word every day, but let's break it down. Govern means to control, to steer, to direct, like a governor on an engine. Mint, the last part of the word, right, means mind. Like mental or mentality, government equals mind control. It's not conspiracy theory, it's entomology. They're broadcasting their function in the name itself. They govern your mind through media, education, language, and you call them your government, thinking it's about representation and democracy. Maybe it started that way, but the words tell you what it actually does. Understand. You say it all the time. I understand what you're saying. I understand the agreement. But let's look at the roots. Under equals beneath, below, in a position of submission, right? Stand equals to take a position. Understand equals to stand beneath, to submit. Every time you say, I understand, you're literally saying, I submit to your authority. You know, let me just say, we have to be careful of legalism. Romans 13 commands us to submit to government authority. You see that? We're commanded to do that. And that was written in the time of a lot of evil people ruling over not so evil people. In fact, it usually works out that way. And Daniel said the same thing. So okay, back to what he's saying. Try saying, I comprehend instead. Comprehend means to grasp, feel the difference. Pharmacy. You go there when you're sick. You trust them. But pharmacy comes from the Greek pharmakia, which means sorcery, witchcraft. The use of drugs and potions for magical purposes. They're literally practicing sorcery and calling it medicine. And again, I'm not saying don't take medicine. I'm saying know what you're invoking. The word itself carries the frequency of chemical sorcery. You know, old folks who lots of times takes lots of medicines and stuff, they always call it my medicine, my witchcraft, my sorcery. Okay, human, another word. This one is beautiful. Hue equals light, color, man equals mind. Human equals light mind, light being. Well, we are men who walk in the light when we follow Christ, right? So, he goes on to say, you're a being of light and consciousness, not an accident, not a meat robot, a light-bearing having a physical experience. They don't want you to know that. Person, per equals through. Sun equals sound. Well, you know, you can see different things in the interpretation of these words. We are born through the sun, right? This sun, S-O-N. Yes. Person equals sound moving through form. You are vibration. You are frequency. Every person is a unique frequency signature broadcasting through matter. This is quantum physics. Yes, it is. I've studied a little bit of quantum physics, and it's very clear that they have discovered something that is totally biblical. This is string theory. This is an ancient wisdom, and they hid it in a word you use every day. You're not a solid thing. You're sound moving through form. Your frequency, wearing meat. And once you get that, you understand why your words matter so much. Because you're already sound. You're already frequency. Your words are consciously directing that frequency. And every one of these words is a revelation. And you've been using them your whole life without knowing what you were saying. And that's not an accident. That's intentional obscurity. They don't want you to know what you are or what you're doing. Because once you know, you can't be controlled. Once you decode the spell, you can't be programmed anymore. Now, we can see on a much larger scale how words affect people, you know, but it could be just the intent or the emotion that is coming through that particular word or words that imparts, for instance, demons to people. He's not going to get into that. Now, let's talk about the Bible. Because whether you're religious or not, you need to understand what it's telling you about language. The Bible isn't just a religious text, it's a frequency manual, and it tells you flat out, words create reality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. But in the beginning was the thought, not the feeling, not the intention, the word. Creation happens through spoken language. God spoke, and light appeared. God said, and it was so. That's not metaphor. That's mechanics. That's the operating system of reality. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's his version. Proverbs 18:21. Not kind of influenced by the tongue, not partially affected by what you say, life and death. Your tongue, your words, are the determining factor between creating life or creating death in your experience. You're either speaking life over yourself, your family, your finances, your health, or you're speaking death. Every day, every conversation, there's no neutral. And then Exodus 3:14. This is huge. Moses asked God, "Who are you? What is your name? Who should I say sent me?" And God doesn't say Steve. God doesn't give some mystical ancient name. God says, "I am that I am." The most powerful name in the Bible, the name of God, is I am. And then throughout Scripture, God basically says, "That's your name too. You're made in the image of God," right? That means you have the same creative power every time you say, "I am." Do you say that? Well, of course, everybody says that, right? You're invoking creator consciousness. You're declaring reality into existence. You're speaking as the source of your experience. Jesus didn't think demons out of people. He didn't wish them away. He didn't pray quietly and hope they'd leave. He spoke to them direct command, "Come out." And they obeyed. Not because he had special magic that you don't have. Well, he taught us to do the same thing, didn't he? In fact, he empowered it by giving us the Holy Spirit that he got when he started doing miracles too. Because he understood that authority comes through words, through declaration, through command. He understood frequency, disrupting frequency. And when he calmed the storm, he didn't meditate on calmness. He spoke to the storm, "Peace be still," and it obeyed. And when he healed people, he spoke healing, "Rise and walk, be made whole." So your faith has healed you, you know. Words, commands, frequency, altering matter. This isn't about religion. You'd be an atheist, and this still applies because it's physics. It's quantum mechanics. The Bible is just one of many ancient texts trying to tell you that you have this power you always have. They coded it into scripture, into mythology, into every wisdom tradition. Words are creative force, and you are the wielder. You are the one speaking. You are the one creating. So what are you saying? Now let's talk about your electromagnetic body, because this is where it all comes together. You think you're solid, right? You feel solid. You look in the mirror and you see a physical body, but that's an illusion. You're 99.9999% empty space. Some are more than others. So the atoms that make up your body are mostly electromagnetic fields. You are frequency, wearing meat. The Heart Math Institute proved something incredible. Your heart generates an electromagnetic field that extends 15 feet around you in all directions. 15 feet, that's huge. That field carries information, emotion, intention, and frequency. It affects everyone and everything nearby. You felt this. You know when you walk into a room and someone's angry. You feel it because they say a word. You know when someone's in love, they radiate it. That's not psychic ability, that's electromagnetic field detection. You're reading frequency. Water crystals respond to words because water is a crystalline structure that holds frequency. Dr. Emoto proved that. Semantics show that sound creates form. Different frequencies literally arrange matter into different patterns. You can watch sand form perfect geometric patterns just from sound vibrations. Your voice is frequency, your words are vibration, and your body is rearranging itself in response to every single second. Think about this simply. Your cells communicate through chemical signals, right? But also electrical impulses and electromagnetic fields. When you speak, you're broadcasting frequency through all three channels simultaneously. You're not just making sounds, you're programming biology. You're sending instructions through chemistry, electricity, electromagnetism all at once. Yeah, you speak. Have you ever seen people do experiments of speaking to plants? Nice and cool things, you know. The plant perks up, it grows, it gets beautiful, you know. The other one, you speak cursed things and it dies and so on and so forth. Those are real. So this is why negative people drain your energy. Their frequency is chaotic, discordant, low vibration. Your body has to work harder to maintain coherence around them. This is why being around certain people lights you up. Frequency matching resonance, right? You're synchronizing, and this is why some places feel good and others feel heavy. Residual frequency in the electromagnetic field of that space. You are a walking broadcasting station. Your heart is pumping out a 15-foot field of electromagnetic information. Your brain is generating measurable frequencies. Your words are adding specific vibration to that broadcast. The question is, what are you broadcasting? Limitation or possibility? Fear or power? Submission or sovereignty? Your reality is matching your broadcast always. So now let's talk about how they control you with this knowledge, because they know everything that I'm telling you. They've known it for centuries, and they weaponize it against you every single day. The media doesn't report news. It casts mass spells. Think about it. Every headline is a frequency broadcast. Every phrase repeated across the channels is a ritual. Repetition is how you program consciousness. And, of course, you can flip from station to station on a TV, which I haven't had in many years, and see that they're reporting the same thing. And sometimes quoting each other. They're not informing you, they're programming you, and they know exactly what they are doing, he says. Stay safe. You hear that everywhere now, right? Sounds caring. Sounds like they're looking out for you, but let's decode the frequency. Stay equals remain. Well, I would say remain safe is good, you know. Don't move. Don't change. Don't grow. Safe equals protected from danger, right? Now, I don't know about the last interpretation there. I believe remain safe is good. So, which implies danger is everywhere, which triggers fear, which creates contraction. Yeah, we can see what it does. We've been watching it, you know. Stay safe is a submission command. It programs fear of the world, dependence on authority, and small living. Stay small. Stay controlled. Stay afraid. That's what your subconscious hears every single time. I would say remain in safety is a good command, you know. So I'm not trying to be legalistic about this, but I can see his points. The new normal. Remember this phrase from 2020 repeated 10,000 times across every media outlet. Why that specific phrase? Because repetition programs reality. They're telling you this is normal now. Accept it. Adapt. Don't question. Don't resist. This is just how things are now. Your mind hears that phrase enough times and it becomes your operating system. You stop fighting. You comply. You adjust. Mission accomplished. Edward Bernays. You've got to understand who this guy was. The nephew of Sigmund Freud literally wrote the book on propaganda in 1928. Quote, public relations, unquote, he called it, because propaganda sounded too negative after World War I, but it's the same thing. He understood that controlling language controls populations. He understood that you don't need physical force when you can program minds through repetition, emotional manipulation, and carefully chosen words. His whole philosophy was this: give people the illusion of choice while controlling the language that shapes their thinking. Let them think they're free while you're actually directing their thoughts, their beliefs, their behaviors through linguistic programming. Well, my thought is not just words, but their emotion and intent are also being broadcast. Stay safe, be healed, be free, have emotion and intent. Right? So you may think it's totally negative when your emotion is not being that way. He goes on. He helped sell wars. He helped sell cigarettes to women by calling them freedom torches. He helped sell political candidates like products using the same techniques. Control the language, control the people. They know language is frequency. They know repetition programs consciousness. They know fear-based words trigger survival responses that shut down critical thinking. So they weaponize it every single day on every platform. News, social media, entertainment, it's all programming, all frequency manipulation, all spell casting at a massive scale. But here's the key. Here's what they don't want you knowing, and you can't be programmed if you're aware. Once you recognize the spell being cast, it loses power over you. You start noticing, oh, they're using that phrase to trigger fear. Well, don't leave out emotion and intent, you know. He goes on to say, they're repeating this to program acceptance. They're framing this to shut down questions, and the spell breaks. You become immune. You become sovereign. You become ungovernable. Now let's talk about the I am secret, because this is the most powerful thing I can teach you. I am are the two most powerful words in any language, not just English, any language. Why? Because I am is the name of God. The Tetragrammaton, YHWH, in Hebrew, I am that I am. And when Moses asked God's name of the burning bush, God didn't say Jeff. God didn't give some mystical ancient title. In fact, even in the New Testament, even before in the New Testament in Jeremiah, he said that they will call me my father. He got away from the titles that described what he did, you know. So he went on to say here, God said, I am. That's not a name. That's a state of being. It's a present sense existence, pure presence, pure creative power. And then the Bible tells you over and over, this is your name too. You're made in the image of God. You have the same creative authority when you say, I am. You're not describing yourself. You're not making an observation. You're commanding reality. You're speaking as the creator of your experience. The quantum field responds to I am declarations instantly. Not eventually, not if you're good enough, instantly, because I am is the voice of source consciousness, and reality obeys source. Here's where most people mess this up completely. They say, I am trying to be confident. Wrong. Trying cancels creator power. Trying means attempt, but not succeeding. It's failure language. They say, I am working on being healthy. Wrong. Working on means not there yet. It's future language. The quantum field only responds to now. Notice that, because it's true. Jesus said, believe you have received. You have it now. They say, I wish I was, or I want to be, or someday I'll be. All wrong, all failure codes, all spells of lack. This is true. We are to believe and to speak that Jesus lives in us, and our old man is dead. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are to speak the end from the beginning, as the Lord said. He goes on. I am is present tense, absolute, declarative, not hope, not intention, command. I am abundant. Not I want abundance. Not I'm trying to create abundance. I am abundant. right now as I speak, present tense, total certainty. This is true. This is why Jesus taught us to believe we have received. Everything you pray for, he said, believe you have received, and you shall have it. So he's saying exact same thing here. I am healthy, not I'm trying to get healthy, not I'm working on being healthy. I am healthy, period. No question, no doubt, I am sovereign. Not I'm working on confidence. Not I wish I were confident. I am sovereign. Full stop. No negotiation. Whatever follows, I am, becomes your reality, instruction to the universe. And the universe doesn't argue. It doesn't judge. It doesn't question whether you deserve it. It says yes. That's exactly, you know, what we've been sharing with you is that smallest particle out there becomes what you say and what you believe. Okay? And so it goes both positive and negative. So the universe says yes and starts arranging circumstances, people, and opportunities to match your declaration. Of course, we know that's God doing that, because you are in agreement with his promises, right? That's how creation works. That's the operating system. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection. He was demonstrating creator consciousness, teaching the template, showing you how to use your divine authority, and then they diluted it. They made it about worshiping him instead of becoming like him. Well, that's true in a way, because they don't want you knowing you have this power. They don't want you to know that Jesus gave you this power. And the best promises in the Bible, of course, are better than any of this positive thinking stuff, I can tell you. They don't want 7 billion people walking around speaking with, I am authority. That would be the end of control. Well, we know 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaks, let it be as an oracle of God, he says. Right? Now let's get into quantum physics, which is what we've been in, actually. Because this is where science catches up to ancient wisdom. The famous double slit experiment broke physics, changed everything. Scientists shot particles, electrons, and photons at a screen with two slits in it. And when they observed which slit particle went through, the particles behaved like particles. They went through one slit or the other, made two distinct bands on the back screen. But when they didn't observe, when they just let it happen without measuring, the particles behaved like waves. They went through both slits simultaneously, created an interference pattern on the back screen, like waves in water overlapping and creating ripples. Same particles, same experiment. The only thing that changed was observation. And that changed the outcome completely from wave to particle, from potential to actual, and from possibility to reality. What does this mean? Particles, the building blocks of everything, matter, energy, and reality, don't exist in a fixed state until observed. They exist as potential, as possibility, as wave function, multiple states existing simultaneously. An observation, consciousness, collapses that potential into one definitive reality. You're not living in a solid, fixed reality. You're living in a fluid field of potential. And your consciousness is constantly collapsing possibility into form. Every moment, every thought, every word, you're choosing which reality manifests by where you put your attention and what you declare. Your words are observation devices. Yes. When you say, "I am broke," you're not describing your bank account. You're collapsing the wave function of all financial possibility into the specific reality of poverty. You're taking infinite potential and forcing it into one limited outcome. When you say, "I am abundant," you're collapsing a different probabilities. You're observing a different reality into existence. And this is why manifestation isn't about begging the universe. It's not about begging God either. It's not about hoping and wishing and trying really hard. It's about declaring. Yes, that's very true. You speak it. You declare it. You decree it. You're not asking for reality to change. You're observing it into the form you choose. Your words are observation device. And reality has no choice but to comply. That's quantum mechanics. Yes, it is. The quanta, which are all around you, don't take on a property until you look at them and you believe something. Then they take on a property. That's quantum mechanics. This is what they discovered. This wasn't religion, but this is exactly what Jesus said. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So the woman that touched the hem of his garment received because she believed, and it happened. And Jesus didn't even know it until it was all over. You think you're begging God? He's already set these things into existence. Okay, continuing. That's how creation works at the subatomic level. Most people don't manifest because they're observing current reality and describing it. That's true. I'm broke. I'm stuck. I'm tired. I'm alone. Let's just solidifying what this is what solidifying is already exists. They're just continuing the curse is basically. So that's like taking a photograph of a photograph. You're not creative. You're copying. That's true. Creators observe the desired reality and speak it into being. I am abundant. I am free. I am energized. I am connected. Now, when you turn this to faith in God, it's even more powerful. I am connected. So you're collapsing different probabilities. You're choosing from infinite potential. Now let's talk about victim language versus creator language, because this is where you practically apply everything I've been teaching you. And every sentence you speak positions you as either a victim or a creator. And most people default to victim language without even realizing it. I can't afford it. You say this all the time, right? Seems harmless, but you're claiming powerlessness. You're declaring, you're positioning yourself as victim of circumstances. Replace it with, I'm choosing to invest elsewhere right now. Completely different frequency. So you have choice. You have agency. You're the one making decisions. Create a language. I'm so stressed, quote unquote. Well, you could say, I cast out stress, which can be a demon, actually. And you do that. Victim language. Stress is happening to you. You're powerless against it. It's attacking you, and you're suffering. Replace that with, I'm processing intense energy right now. Create a language. You're actively working with what's present. You're not helpless. You're in the process of transformation. You're handling it. Quote, I have to work, unquote. That's victim language. You're trapped. No choice. You're a slave to circumstances. Replace that with, I choose to honor my commitments. Okay? Now, you might use different words, of course. You know, I can follow the Lord. I don't have to follow laws like that that people make for themselves, right? I choose to honor my commitments. Create a language. Even if you don't love the job, claiming choice reclaims power. You're choosing. You have agency. You're not a victim. Quote, I'm trying to lose weight, unquote. That's victim language. Trying means not succeeding. It's coded failure. Replace it with, I'm becoming healthier every day, unquote. Create a language, present tense, active, progressive, no failure coded in. I'm stuck. That's victim language. Frozen, helpless, no movement possible. Replace it with, I'm gathering information in this chapter. Creator language. Okay? You're in a process. There's purpose. There's learning. You're preparing for the next phase. Completely different energy. I need more money, quote unquote. That's victim language. Need broadcasts lack, desperation, emergency. Your body goes into survival mode when you say need. Well, I would say it's better to say, I believe I have received abundant provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, there's some good programming for your mind and your mouth right there. He goes on, I can't do this. That's victim language. Total powerlessness, complete defeat. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that's my quote. That's right. That's the way we need to think and speak. But I really want to. Victim language, but, cancels everything before it. I love you, but. It means, I don't love you. Think. Here, this is my thought. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. You see, that's good programming right there for your mind and for your mouth. He went on to say, I want to succeed, but means I don't believe I can succeed. Replace with, and I'm choosing to prioritize this. Creator language, right? I would say, thank you, Jesus, that I am successful, and as I abide in your will and faith. Amen. Every single transformation shifts you from passive receiver to active creator, from being done unto to doing, and from powerlessness to sovereign. And your nervous system responds immediately. Your cells respond. Your electromagnetic field responds. Your reality responds. This isn't positive thinking. This is frequency reprogramming at the cellular level. Yeah, well, ask for the Lord's help. Psalm 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Yeah. And he goes on to say, eliminate, can't, and try. Every time you catch yourself saying, I can't, or I'm trying, stop mid-sentence if you have to. Yeah, I would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? And he goes on to say, rephrase it. I can't afford that becomes, I'm choosing to invest elsewhere. I'm trying to be healthier becomes, I'll give you my answer. 1 Peter 2:24, confess this, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Therefore, I am healed. Right? And I thank you, Lord, it's done. It's already done. Why do we say we lack it? He says you have it. He goes on to say, eliminate, have to, or need to, these program obligations and lack. Every have to is claiming you're trapped. Every need to is broadcasting desperation. Replace it with, I choose to, or I'm ready to. I have to go to work becomes, I choose to honor my commitments. I need to make money becomes, I'm ready to receive income. Feel the difference? Your whole body shifts. What you have to know is that you are the creator and that your words are creating, right? That the creator lives in you, and therefore when he speaks through you because you're in agreement with his word, things happen. He goes on to say, eliminate, but. This one's sneaky because you say it constantly without noticing. But cancels everything before it. I mean, think about it. I love you, but. It doesn't feel like love, right? I want to succeed, but I'm scared. It means I don't believe I can succeed, right? Well, you can say, I cast down doubt and unbelief. I cast it down, and it will happen. Just remember, saints, that self-works will not accomplish what faith will. That's what a lot of scientists don't understand. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. You've already been saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. He's telling you outright, your works are not going to get you there, right? The man goes on to say, don't say, I am so lazy, I am terrible with money, I am always anxious, I am not smart enough. I am too old. I am not attractive. I am unlucky. Every single one is a spell you're casting over yourself multiple times a day. Those aren't descriptions. Those are instructions. And your body, your energy field, your reality, they're all saying yes and arranging themselves to match. And I would say, Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. There you go. All that bad stuff's gone. All that bad programming is gone. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. This confession will bring power, right? You're agreeing with God, not just positive thinking. For each limitation, spell, write the power declaration, not the opposite, the truth of who you are, I'm so lazy, becomes I am disciplined and energized. I am terrible with money, becomes I am a wise steward of resources. I am always anxious, becomes I am calm and centered in my power. I'm not smart enough becomes I am intelligent and capable. I am too old becomes I am in my power at every age. I am not attractive becomes I am magnetic and radiant. Okay. Well, Jesus made a reconciliation, the Bible says, which means an exchange of his life for yours. Everything he is has been given to you, and you were crucified with him. Therefore, you don't live anymore. It's him that lives. Now, that confession will enable him to speak through you and to do these things. He went on to say, keep it present tense. Keep it declarative. No trying, no hoping, no someday. This is who I am right now. And you have to speak it out loud. Your body needs to hear it, not in your head. That's thought. That's weak. Out loud, that's creation. That's powerful. You're broadcasting frequency into your field before anything else gets in there. You're setting the tuning for your whole day. Worry comes from Old English wirgon, to strangle, to choke. Every time you say, I'm worried, you're literally strangling your own life force. You're choking yourself with fear. Yeah, and I would say Philippians 4 and 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, what is true? True is what the Bible says you have and you are. It's not what you see in the mirror, in the natural state. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, because that's what's going to come out of your mouth, right? The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, amen. The linguistic shield. Listen, you're exposed to thousands of words daily, media conversations, social media, and advertising. Well, you don't have to be. Not all of them are yours. Most are spells being cast at you, programming being broadcast into your field. That's why I say, stay in the Word of God and don't be distracted by the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word, as it says. During media consumption, and this is big, when you notice fear language, repetitive phrases, manipulative framing, programming attempts, you say internally, I do not accept this spell. I return this frequency to the sender. I am immune to manipulation. And every time you don't have to say it out loud, an internal declaration is enough. But you have to catch it and actively reject it. Well, this is true. And evening release before sleep. I release all words not aligned with my truth. I release all frequency. I would say God's truth. I release all frequency not mine to carry. I reclaim my linguistic sovereignty. I am cleansed. I am clear. I am free. This isn't paranoia. This is protection. You wouldn't let strangers reprogram your phone, right? Why let them reprogram your consciousness? Every word you consciously reject weakens its power over you. Every spell you refuse breaks the caster's hold. You're building immunity. That's exactly right. Most people fall asleep scrolling, stressed, or rehearsing tomorrow's anxiety. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. What if this goes wrong? They're programming their subconscious to expect more stress, to scan for problems, to find threats. Flip it. End every day by remembering what worked. What made you feel alive? Your brain will deliver more of it. And that's how the reticular activating system works. You get more of what you focus on. So focus on aliveness before sleep. Yeah, like thank the Lord for His faithfulness and meditate on all of His promises. You know, they're all positive, right? You speak 16,000 words a day. That's 16,000 reality commands, 16,000 spells cast. The question is, what have you been creating? What are you creating right now? What will you create tomorrow? Speak life. Speak power. Speak sovereignty. Speak abundance. Speak health. Speak joy. Speak freedom. And watch reality bend to your word. Watch circumstances shift. Watch opportunities appear. Watch your body respond. Watch your life transform. Not because you got lucky. Not because you finally deserved it. Because you remembered you're the spellcaster. And you started using your voice as the creative instrument it always has been. And here is a dictionary website of the history of English words, where you can search words and read the origin, read the root, and read the evolution. And I'll put this link here, right? Now let me share with you from our book, The Tongue Conquers the Curse, which is on our site. It's free, right? Sweet waters are the words we speak in agreement with the Word of God and are a blessing to the people around us. They are a healing to the nations. They spring forth out of our thoughts and hearts and over our tongues to become words of life. An overwhelming majority of what we call Christianity speaks against God's benefits, which we must receive by faith. So we do what God does. We calleth the things that are not as though they were, Romans 4:17. And we agree with God. Even though we don't see it, this is God's method of bringing the promise into His physical creation. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. But when we confess, it becomes ours in these physical places around us. But the opposite can also come to pass, James 3:10. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. Many times, the problem with our mouths is that we are speaking a mixture of blessings and curses. But with the increase of the lips, we should be growing with the knowledge of God in our heart, speaking and agreeing with this knowledge and denying those things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God by casting them down. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yeah. We grow into confessing God's word and into righteousness, because he imputes righteousness when we agree with his word. We should be growing into the sweet water, the river of living water coming up from us, and not a mixture of blessing and cursing. James 3:5. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. People think that the things that they say are insignificant, and that they don't count. Not so before God, and I might say not so before the devil, because he gets his authority from you. Remember, the devil doesn't have authority except what we give to him. Jesus said that all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18. And he put that authority under his feet and gave himself to be the head of the body, the church. So therefore, the very lowest member of the body, the feet, has this authority, right? Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So therefore the church is his body, and even the lowest member of his body, the feet, has this authority, because that authority is over the world, the curse, all of these things. The fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So every principality and power has been put under the feet of Jesus, which is the lowest member of his body. So we have the authority. The devil has to get us to give him authority. And of course, he works constantly to sow seeds of the world into our hearts, and we can cooperate with that or we cannot cooperate with that. We know what's good seed, and it's the Word of God. And we know television isn't good seed. Going on. So that's what a harlot is, a person who receives the seed of the world in their heart rather than the seed of the kingdom. James 5:6. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. So the tongue defiles the body. When our faith in what we are told by the world and by the devil, and therefore it is what we believe and what comes out of our mouth, and that defiles the body. The wheel of nature here, or as otherwise interpreted, cycle of life, of course, is sowing and reaping. That's the cycle. When you sow, you reap, then you have something better to sow. See, it should be a cycle upwards, not a cycle downwards, like it does with a lot of people. You speak things that are a curse, and cursing comes upon you. You speak things that are a blessing, and a blessing comes upon you. You speak things that are a cycle that tends to be upward, and a cycle that tends to be downward, right? We want to bring our tongue into submission by first repenting, that is, changing our minds and agreeing with the Word of God. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This can be just your death and life, or the death and life of the people around you. We're all going to prove whether we love death or whether we love life. We're going to eat the fruit of the one that we love. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what through James too, right? And if you love life, you will obviously pay very close attention to what you say, and you will begin to train your tongue to come into agreement with the Word of God. This is necessary. Well, I'm going to share some more with you in this text you can study, but I've run out of time, so. And I haven't been paying much attention to time lately. As you know, I've been going over a little bit. Well, thank you, Father, so much for what you're showing us. Lord, put a watch before our lips, Lord. Let us come into agreement with you. You have pronounced the blessings, and you've taken the cursings upon yourself. So let us speak the blessings. Let us agree with you and bring wonderful things to pass. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, saints. Lord bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.